in that room. Jean was praying for a couple of weeks, and the prayer just shifted into prophecy, then back into prayer. And I think just the essence of that would bless some people. Prayer station there, so afterwards, if this touches your heart, go and get some prayer. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? And tonight is a prayer meeting, so what a chance to change the world around us through God's power, access through prayer. Amen?
It's on? Yeah. So when we prayed, I said, Lord, what's on your heart this morning? And the Lord spoke to me quite clearly. He said, there are people coming through the doors this morning who've got broken hearts, and you're trying to fix it. You're trying to mend your broken heart. And the Lord's saying, I want you to come to me. I'm the one who will mend your broken heart. There are people coming through the doors who've put their trust in others, and that trust has been broken. And so they're struggling to trust God. And God's saying, come to me. I know I was there. I saw those people you put your trust in. Come to me. You can trust me wholeheartedly. I will heal the wounds from those through whom you've been hurt because you've placed your trust in them. And there are some of you this morning and you're stuck on the road because you're looking and you're saying, I've done this and I've done that and I've served out and I've done all this in the church, but nothing's happening. No one's noticing me. And God's saying, yes, I've noticed what you've been doing, but I don't want you to do. I want you to come to me, because out of you coming to me, I will release you. I want you to be a Mary and not a Martha.
Thank you. So if any of that touched your heart, then prayer is available afterwards and it will make a difference. Are you recording me there, Kev? I'd have got a wash of a no-no. So today, it's faith in action. Why? And having prepared me stuff and given the overhead stuff to Mark, who I trust will be able to follow me, do a great job. I'm sitting there meditating this morning. I call it prinking, which is like prayerful thinking, meditating. And a different scripture came to me. I thought, oh, hey, I've just got it all sorted, you know. Don't you just love it when that happens? And this is an obvious thing, really, but I wanted to start. This is a kind of challenging thing to start with, but James said, he would say, faith in action, why? Because James said, because without it, faith is dead. Without evidence, if you were in a hospital and they're, is he alive? Is she alive? What do? Sorry? Yeah, check your pulse. In some of the older films, you stick a mirror by your mouth to see if there's any steam from your breath. They want to test, are you alive? And James says, faith without works is dead. And that word dead is nekros. Big deal. It means dead, like a corpse. And this is what it says about it, a dead body, a corpse. This is a particular word study thing. Just a bit of it says, inoperative to the things of God. So if your faith is not active, you are inoperative to the things of God. That's not nice, is it? And it's from that we get the word necromancy. And that's nasty stuff. That's trying to communicate with the dead. And I'm just starting by saying, I'm hoping I'm communicating with the alive this morning. If your faith is not bearing evidence, you're necros, as far as God's concerned. It's inoperative. You're a dormant person. And that's not what he wants. He wants us to be fruitful. So are you breathing this morning? Spiritually, is your faith alive and active? And I've entitled this, I've no idea what's coming up, ish. I've entitled this thing, Acts 29, A New Faith. No, it didn't. A new chapter. Jean remembered it better than I did. And I've got it in front of me. Acts 29. Now, the book of Acts finishes at Acts 28. But it finishes open-ended. It doesn't tell us what's going to happen to Paul or what's going to happen to anybody else, because the book of Acts is still being written. It's the act of the Holy Spirit amongst us, through us, in our lives. Your life is writing part of Acts 29. Yeah? So be excited that God is using you and blessing you and giving you stuff for which you can bless others. So that's just setting the scene. The first thing I want to talk about, I may lapse out of why into something else, I don't know. I'm going to call the seed principle. Da-da! No. Da-da! In Genesis 1 and verse 28, God says, there should be an overhead possibly. Is it coming? Yeah! God said, be fruitful. God wants us to bear fruit in our lives. Be fruitful and multiply. And he didn't mean know your times tables. He was talking about producing new people. Be fruitful and rule. Everything God made, the trees with the acorns and the fruit with the seeds, birds, animals, people, we've all got the capacity to reproduce. And that's why there's 7 something billion people on earth right now. They've done a very good job of fulfilling that, haven't they? It takes two, I'm told. It takes two to produce another human life. There is a seed and there is that which germinates a seed. Even the acorn, it falls into the ground. It's not going to do anything unless there's warmth and moisture and nutrition in the ground to break it open and to bring life from it. The bee that goes to a flower, and while it's grabbing nectar, it's getting something else on its legs, and it goes to another plant, and it pollinates that plant, so there's life. Isn't that wonderful? I was told years ago by my boss, who was a secular humanist, this isn't in my notes, in fact, nothing's in my notes, really. I know. There's a sheep, it's somewhere in Africa, and it goes, and it rubs its back against a tree, and a seed is implanted on its back, and it goes somewhere else. Oh, it rubs its back again, and the seed is deposited, and it grows. Isn't that amazing? You know, that's not evolution, is it? That's a creator. It's got a funny sense of humour. Oh goodness me! God wants us to be fruitful. I want to say it takes two. I also want to say in our community, it takes all of us. It takes our community to produce life in our community. I can't do it, I'm pretty useless at that. But with others, each of us putting our little bit in, we become a force to reckon with, we do. Matthew 28:19. So we've seen God saying, physically, naturally, go forth and multiply, 2 2's are 4, 2 4's are 8. But Jesus then takes a spiritual overlay, says, now, spiritually, go forth and multiply. That's what he's saying. Fill the earth with children of God. You see that? When you see it, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? We've done a good job of multiplying in the earth. Now it's time to multiply in the kingdom and to see souls born again. And we can do it. Our faith needs to be activated. We can do it because he's given us it. The seed is within. In the parable of the sower, Jesus said, the seed is the word, and the word has to be planted if it's going to germinate. And it's germinated through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's in us. The seed's in us. And we need to speak it out. Not just pushing it down someone's throat, but gently imparting words of truth, words of life, words of gospel, words of kingdom, words of faith, most of all, words of Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says this, talking about faith that produces outcome, works, evidence. He says, you are God's masterpiece. Now turn to the person next to you, unless you're alone, in which case talk to yourself, and say, you are a masterpiece. Go on. You are a masterpiece. Don't get carried away with that. When you get home and look in the mirror, you may have to work a bit harder, but you are a masterpiece. That word, it's like creation. When God created, it's that kind of word. He has created something in you. He is creating something in you that's powerful, that's wonderful, that's amazing. And he wants your faith to be activated. And Matthew 5:16 says something I've just forgotten. Oh yes, it says, "So let your light shine that people would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Do not keep it to yourself. Do try this at home. Do try it in the shops. Do try it in the workplace. Do try it with your neighbors. Let your light shine. Whatever you can do. It might just be a little candle or a small lamp. It's a shine. It's shine. And people will see light in you. Ooh. And I want to say, you know, when I was a lad, it was like the world in the church. Someone tell me when it's 1:30. See, the clocks are up there now. Put this back quick. So when I was, the church I was brought up in, God bless it, it's closed. But it's been renewed. It's fantastic. It's closed and someone else has taken over. And it's really good. Long story. Oh, we've got time. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I was brought up in this way. This is the church and this is the world, and they don't mix. Well, of course they don't. But they don't even meet. You know, the boundary is a hard boundary between the world and the church. Sorry, please. But missional communities make the boundary fuzzy so that we can touch people's lives, bring them into a place which is not church and not world. It's a fuzzy edge. It's a place where they can meet Christians and Christians can meet people who are not yet Christians in some other activity. I want to recommend to you, I've been slow at picking this up, I want to recommend to you, get in a missional community. If you're in a small group, that's great. But I think missional community is where your faith in action is going to happen more. You can be nurtured in a small group, and that's great. I love small groups. Faith in action is what God's looking for. Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. So the sacred secular divide that was there for a long time in the church in history, it's gone. It's fuzzy at the edge. And that's the way I would say. I'm not an evangelist. Leave us say, I'm not an evangelist. Well, you are actually. But even if you thought, I'm not an evangelist, fuzzy at the edge, missional community, you'd be part of a thing that is evangelistic without being an evangelist. Because you're adding something to that team that they need. That makes sense. There's a photo coming up of a guy who had a very strange... That is Simon Stylites. Who's heard of Simon Stylites? Barry, Jean, because I told her. In about the year 400, he got up on that pillar, or one very like it, and he lived there for 37 years. He wasn't the only one, not on that one anyway. My first thought was, where's the toilet rolls? There's a lot of practical questions when you look at that. Don't think about it. Think about the people below. They used to feed him goat's milk and pita bread and the like. But what else came down in the book, I don't know. But it's true. For 37 years, he was a hermit. I'm a bit of a hermit. True? Yeah. Thank you. I like to be amongst people on my own, by and large, or with Jean. I don't do well in one-to-one stuff, really. But I'm doing better. There were others who lived in the forest, others who lived in the desert, because when Cornelius, got the name right, the emperor who opened up the world to the church, Constantine. I'm just testing. I don't remember names in my getting older age, you know. Constantine began to say, the church, this is where we should be going. And after him came Constantius, who made it more so. And what they did was they opened the church up to the world, and pagans flocked into the church, and it began to become corrupted and changed. And so people like him thought, I don't want to be in this. I want to get close to God. Great motivation. And they did lots of good things in being there, contemplation and writing stuff and whatever. But they withdrew from the world. Next picture, please. Takes a moment. No, a picture of my car. If it's there, did it come? Oh, please say it came. There it is. That's our car a couple of days ago in the driveway. That's my pillar. That's my pillar, because I get into that car, reverse out safely. Although one of us hit a tree recently doing that. I mean, it's only a small tree. And it's only been there for a long time. But anyway, one of us backed into it. If it was me, I wouldn't have said that, you see. A number of jokes come to mind. But anyway, I get into that car. And let's say I go to Asda. I get my trolley. I go out through the fast lane, so I don't have to talk to anyone. I get in the car and I come home. I'm a hermit. I haven't been out there with people. I haven't communicated. I could do, but I don't have to. And wherever I go, whenever I do, whether it's in the car or somewhere, I don't have to talk to people. I don't have to. I'm getting better, aren't I? But I don't have to. I could live on that pillar for 37 years and not talk to people. He did talk to people, but you know. He came separate from the crowd. It's important that we live our lives before people to be seen of them, a living letter known and read of all men in Corinthians, so that people can see, is that light I can see or what? Is that Christ I can sense or what? And if we live as hermits and if we hide away from people, and I'm good at that, then they're not going to see anything, are they? I'm getting better. I really am, by God's grace and no other means. So that's the seed principle. He's placed it in us. It's the word that brings eternal life in us. And it's able to reproduce. If we share our faith, share the gospel, share Jesus, pray for people, and that's the Holy Spirit will come and bring, will germinate that seed. It's going to happen. It is happening. But it's going to happen more in this community. The next thing I've already touched on is fruitfulness. So I've already jumped the gun a little bit. But John 15, verses 4 and verse 16, there's a bit of fun involved here, hopefully, but making a point just the same. Jesus said in John 15, verse 4, remain in me, for no branch can bear fruit by itself. We're to remain in him. And for me, the picture of that is of a tree. Ooh, time's going. A tree rooted, and its roots go down. It's drawn up strength and sap, and that's how it produces fruit. Who's ever seen an apple tree eating apples? Who's ever seen a plum tree eating plums? Fruit is for others. What we bear is for others to have and enjoy. The life of Christ in us is for others, not for ourselves. Well, for ourselves first. There's two things about this. The second verse says this in verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Hooray! And appointed you to go and bear fruit. So we are to remain and draw strength, but we are to go and bear fruit. How do you remain and go at the same time? And this video clip, if it comes up, should be a kind of answer. It's one of my favorite clips. Lord of the Rings, the Twin Towers, or the Two Towers. It was called. It's a bit dark. Anyone recognize the voice of Treebeard? It's a bit slow. Who's seen Lord of the Rings 2? This is a tree that's talking and walking. There he is. I guess that'll do, thank you. He's a tree that's rooted and fruited, but he's also a tree that walks and talks. And I'm just using that as a picture of us as we remain in Christ, so we draw strength, but he wants us to go as well and bear fruit. Now this is bad theology, but it's okay, you'll get the point. There was a man who was blind that Jesus prayed for, and he did it in two stages. And at stage one, he said, what you see? What did he see? Men walking like trees. See, it's in the Bible. Men walking like trees. That's just a bit of fun, really. I thought it was, anyway. Things you think. So we're able to receive strength and bear fruit, but he also wants us to go and bear fruit. And I want to put it to you, if you remain and bear fruit, you'll draw strength within yourself. And have a swig of this. You'll draw strength within yourself. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, self-patience, self-control, depending on your translation. But he wants you to go and bear fruit. That's different. That's the fruit of people. He wants people to come to him through you, through us. I like the us personally. Next scripture. Colossians 1:3-6. We're moving to close to an end. The chicken's in the oven, it'll be okay. Possibly. I'll have to spill over into next week, Lee. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of the gospel as has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit. That's about people. God is interested in people, and people need Jesus, and you're the answer. Certainly for where you are. leave the other verses out for now. Have you got a picture of a tin of beans? There it is. This is called spilling the beans. Spilling the beans. Matthew 12:34. I'll just talk it out for now. Out of the overflow of the tin of beans, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's coming out your mouth? What's in your heart? It always happens. It's a principle. It's a fact. How you talk, how you speak, indicates what's in there. Sometimes listening to myself, that worries me. Sometimes that worries me. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Based on a psalm, Paul talking about the gospel and the troubles they've had. okay. The next one, please, sir. he says, we believe, this is faith in action, we believe, therefore we speak. It's just the way it is, that whatever you believe, that's what you will talk. And if you talk in Jesus, that's what you believe. If you're not talking Jesus, that's what you believe. Or is it just that there's a blockage, maybe? Is it you're afraid of what people might think? I put my hand up. Most of my life I've been a bit like that. Other blockages, maybe. Not sure what to say. I've been a bit like that too. Holy Spirit, help me. Either what's coming out is Jesus in one way or another because you believe or don't believe. It's pretty simple, isn't it? I'm not being hard, I'm just being logical. But maybe there's something else. Maybe there's a blockage. Maybe there's a barrier. Maybe what Jim was sharing earlier is part of it. Spilling the beans. No evidence. Necros. Is there a breath? Is there something happening? Is spiritually what's happening in your life? Is there evidence of life in you? Spiritually, is there evidence of faith? I'm sure there is. I'm not here to say anything different. But hey, sometimes we struggle to get that evidence out. And I'm going to encourage you in a minute to get over it and have some prayer, if you've got the courage to do that. If, like me, you recognize, you know, there's a whole lot more yet I want to see God do in my life. And I want to see more of that faith released in action and in words. Can you put the picture of Frank up, please? Okay. That's Frank. Say hello to Frank. That is Frank. He's a friend of ours, Frank Broadbent. Who knows him? There's a few that know. Tomato Frankie was called. He's into agriculture and herb, blah, 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 all that flower stuff. Though he's never had anything to do with tomatoes. He lives in North Wales. He's at St. Andrews there, pretending to be Peter. He's the one that got us going on the homeless feeding thing in our church in Toxteth. He, on his pension, went to Malawi and fed a whole village and saw people saved and healed. A pensioner. Faith in action, guys. You know, come on. What can we do if he can do that? Frank is his name, and this is the acronym. You may have heard this. These are the people in your world, because you are apostles, with little a, because you are being sent. You're on a mission, being sent into your world. When Jesus said, go into all the world, they went, which is why we're here. Where are we going to go? First of all, friends. Some of us have friends. I don't have very many. I'm working on it. Make a list of the friends you have. Secondly, relations. You all know your family. Make a list of those people. A, associates, people you associate with in this club, in that, whatever. You associate with people. N for neighbors. Make a list of your neighbors. You don't know them, get to know them. Tell them you're praying for them. K, colleagues. Don't check the dictionary. I didn't want to spell it. Frank. So every one of us here needs to talk to Frank. Every one of us here needs to pray about Frank. Friends, relations, associates, neighbors, and colleagues. That's our world. That's the world you're being sent into. Are you an apostle? Dead right. I'm calling it the fivefold path. Are you a prophet? Well, do you ever hear God speak? Share it with them. Ask God to speak you for these people. A lot of people, oh, you know, I was just reading the Bible and God spoke to me. Good. Share it. Are you an evangelist? Yes, you are. Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Oh, I'm timid. Oh, get on with it. You know, with a small e, you have a life of faith in Jesus and they don't. Are you a pastor? You bet you are. You're there to care for them and nurture them in their new faith or when they get it. Are you a teacher? Do you know more than them? You're a teacher. You can't help that. You're an apostle, you're a pastor, you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Because a guy called Desiderius Erasmus, in about the year 1500, wrote a book in the sort of Renaissance, Enlightenment, Reformation era. And he said this famous thing, though I don't think it was his original. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And whatever you think about yourself, you've got more than those people. They are blind. The God of this world has blinded them. You have at least one eye. You can help. You can guide them. You can help them. Now, come on. Is that right? Yes, you can. It's okay to say yes. Faith in action. It's okay to say yes. Action. Yes? Yeah. Oh, good. There's life. Amen. So, I'm just going to pray. And then Jean's over there. If the word she spoke or God spoke through her, hopefully, touched you, get over there. I'm inclined to do more than that, but time's gone. So it's really, really, really important that you grab hold of this series. You know, I can't sometimes remember what was last week. You know, there's lots of things said to us. But this is about life. You're expressing the life of Jesus. You're getting that into you daily. Get the sap, but then like the tree, get walking. Go and bear fruit among people. Father, I thank you for whatever truth was in the words I spoke today, whatever you were saying amongst the words I've spoken today. I ask that you would cause that word to germinate in our hearts, that it might produce life. In Jesus' name.